Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where I am your host, Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, whatever you call me a child of God. I am so very excited that you joined on tonight, this wonderful Monday evening, one we've never seen and one we'll never see again, but praise God, we are in it. And so I'm excited that you decided to either dial in or log in, however you decided to come. And even those of you that may have even been dialed in on another date, amen. I'm grateful that you decided to listen to this particular broadcast, and I'm believing and trusting that God will meet you, because the goal for the ministry is to educate, to encourage and to empower. We want to make sure that we always share an encouraging word from on high, and then we want to make sure that we give you some information. May not be something that you don't already know, but maybe it's something that God will give us then to give you insight on how to study it a little better so that you have a better understanding on how it applies to you. And then, praise God, we want to make sure that you not only be empowered to make the changes of the word, but to make sure that you do those changes and then share them with someone else. Because, again, we're all called to minister, and so it is our responsibility to share God's word. So for those of you that are just tuning in for the very first time, welcome, welcome, welcome. That's who we are. For those of you that have been with me, can you believe in a couple months I'll be able to say 11? Amen. Right now it's 10 years we've been in this thing, and I'm so excited that you've been here with me, whether it's been 2 weeks, 2 months, 4 years, 5 years, the whole 10. Amen. You have been here with me, whether you tuned in or prayed for me or had a comment or a question or you text me or you encouraged me or you kept me empowered, you kept me pushing to study more. I'm grateful for that because, praise God, we need to be motivated. We need to be encouraged. We need to be pushed a little sometimes out of our element so that we can do what God has called us to do, called us to be and to do. And I'm grateful for you because you helped me do that. And so I will always give credit to you because, amen, you deserve it. So I thank you. And for those of you that don't know, Jesse and Tammy Store, I have to call them by name, are the ones that introduced me to this platform and pushed me out there and have been supporting me for the entire time. Matter of fact, they've supported me before I even came on the radio, amen, through morning prayer, making me get up in the morning and pray, amen, at 5:30 in the morning. But nevertheless, they have always been an example. They have always been people that have supported me and pushed me and made me believe that I could do whatever God called me to do. And so they gave me a platform and told me to run. And so I will always be grateful to them and the Omega Ministry and always call them out by name. Now, the greatest and the best praise we have to give, and that's all of us, and that is to our Father. Whether you know it or not, or whether you've accepted him as your Savior or not, he is your Father because he is the Master Creator. And so we always want to make sure that we give our awesome praise to him because none of this would be possible. And so I always try to play an upbeat song to get us in the mood. At least it gets me in the mood because when Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. And when Jesus says no, nobody can say yes. And so I'm always grateful when I hear that beat and that song and the words. It just rejuvenates me to do what God has called me to do, and that is to teach. And so right now, before we go into our lesson, we want to make sure that we give him his props and we go to him in prayer. So dear Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your many blessings. We thank you for waking us up this morning and giving us your precious gift of life. Father, we thank you, Father, for all the things that we encountered on today, that we were blessed to see the sun. We were blessed to see the sky. We were blessed, some of us, even to see the rain. But nevertheless, Father, we were able to see. We thank you, Father, whether we couldn't see, we could hear. We thank you, Father, we could embrace it, we could touch it, we could feel it. We thank you, Father, for all the things that you've done for us and you continue to do for us, things that we don't even ask for, but you do them anyway. The things that we don't know that we need, you do them anyway. And, Father, sometimes you allow the things that we don't need to be removed from us so that even when we're pressing to make them happen, you still know what's good for us and you move them out of the way. And so, Father, we just take the time to say thank you. We thank you for allowing us to have resources to know more about you and to be able to study and give our lives to you. So we thank you for the word. We thank you that it's our roadmap, that it gives us instructions what we should do and what we shouldn't do, how we should speak and how we should act and how we should live, how we are to raise our children, that we are responsible for raising our children, that we are responsible for doing the assignments that you've called us to, and how we can just ask you for things. And you said in your word, if we remain in you and your words remain in us, we can ask whatever we wish and it will be granted. So, Father, let us understand how much you are our shepherd and that you will not lead us in the path of unrighteousness, that you will always lead us in the path that you would have us to go. And so, Father, we're praying and believing and trusting that we'll have enough whatever we need to make sure that we don't lean to our own understanding, but that we trust you in all things, So we ask, Father, that you allow us to continue to study your word, that you allow us to know that you left a little piece of yourself with us called the Holy Spirit that will pull on that and that will understand that all of it was only possible because you put a part of yourself in human flesh and came to this planet and took all the unnecessary stuff that we sometimes go through, Father. Whew, but we didn't do it like you did. And you did that. You paid the cost by dying on the cross and shedding your blood on our behalf so that we can have an eternal life with you. So, Father, we take this time to say thank you. We thank you for those that are listening in, those that will be coming in, Father, even at the end. Give them a rhema word, Father, just like the ones that got it when they started at the beginning. We pray, Father, that those that will be listening in, even in the future dates, that they will still get the same inspiration and still encouragement that is necessary for us to do what is necessary to be on this path so that we can stand before you at the end and hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Now, Father, I ask that you remove anything that would maybe be distracting to me so that I can make sure that I hear you and speak on your behalf, that you use my lips, you use my mind, you use my heart, you develop my emotions to stay true to what you have planned for today for this lesson. And I pray, Father, that the hearts and the minds that will be listening will hear what it is that you have for them to hear and to take away what they need to take away and make those necessary changes so that they can be empowered to change themselves as well as others because they depended on you. Now, Father, we acknowledge you are the vine and there were branches. And as long as we stay connected to you, we will bear much fruit because without you, we can do nothing. So thank you. We love you. We honor, we adore you. And we thank you that the enemy is at bay. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Well, if you're just tuning in, this is Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, whatever you call me. I am a child of God. And so I'm so excited that you tuned in on this wonderful Monday night to hear an inspiring word. And I believe it's inspiring because, praise God, I didn't plan it. Because, praise God, I wanted to talk about something else. But the Lord let me hear. And, of course, I have to be obedient. And so the topic, if I had to give it a title, is Who Do You Think You Are? And so this title and the topic kind of was birthed out of a Bible study that I taught this past week for the Noonday Bible Study with Dr. Bliss, which is an honor to be able to teach in the platform when she's not. But nevertheless, God inspired me because it was the 4th of July. And so me wanted to do something around independence. And so the Lord blessed me to be able to do something centered around that. And it was to be free and free indeed, independently free from sin. And so some of us are sometimes in bondage and we're walking in bondage and we don't realize we're in bondage. And it's because we're willingly walking in bondage. And so, of course, the study of that study led me to a couple of other things. And so it reminded me of even some things that happened a previous time that I taught on the Bible study. And a friend of mine, we talk often, and we talk often about the lessons after I teach. And one of the things she said to me was, sometimes when you speak, I know what you mean, but does everybody always know what you mean when you say that? And I thought, well, what do you mean? And so there are some challenges at times where sometimes people's toes get kind of crunched or whatever, and they take it in the wrong direction. And so when I say that I have been called, or when I say that I have several degrees, or when I say that I give my title or whatever, I never, ever share them from bragging. Never, ever. Because praise God, I've been delivered from that. Because there was a time I really wanted to be a minister, and God wouldn't let me. And he didn't allow me because I was prideful, because I believed I was going to be a minister because I knew too much about the word. And I was scared into salvation, very young age. And so I believed that I had the qualifications, and I believed that I was living a pretty, I'll call it a square life, to be considered for the position. But it didn't happen. And so when it didn't happen, I questioned God a little bit because I felt in my heart, I mean, I was still doing what I thought I was supposed to do to be part of this life. But it didn't happen. And so when it didn't happen, when I had really had gotten prepared and I had been called into the ministry, and I knew I received a call at that point. And so I had been studying and I had been taking classes at my church. And then when I got skipped over, I couldn't understand that. And it hurt me, and it hurt me deep because I wasn't studying for people at that point because I had really given my life to Christ and I really believed that this was something that God called me to do. But God knew that that pride thing was still stirred up in me. And so I was looking for, of course, the black cape and being able to spin around on the pulpit and standing behind that book board. And God knew that I wasn't ready. And so I often referred myself to the box of Cheez-Its, the commercial, when they say he's not ready yet. And he just keeps laughing at you. That was me. Because I didn't see it for the real intent of what being a minister actually entail. And now that I do, sometimes, and I remember Fred Price preached on this topic, and he said, people think I'm conceited. I'm not conceited. I'm confident. I'm confident in who I am and who I am ministering for and my assignment. And so sometimes people get confused when I say I can preach on a pack of gum or I can minister from the wind or whatever, because I can, because I know that I'm going to yield everything to God and he's going to give me whatever I need to make sure that I minister on that topic. Because I believe if he puts the mic in my hand or he gives me a platform or gives me an audience, he's going to manifest because I know it's not me. And so sometimes that is confusing to others because I do not brag on titles because I very rarely, and as some of y'all know, I was going by another topic, amen, but we said we weren't going to talk about that no more. But nevertheless, I don't brag on being a minister. No, I am grateful that God has given me the assignment to have a mic in my hand and have a platform to minister from. But the coolest thing I think that really God gave me that I took away from the Bible study last week was being free and living free from sin. We all have an assignment to minister the word of God. And the level of where you choose and the platform that God gives you, that's a whole nother story. But we're all called to minister. And we're all given a platform. Yours may not be as big as mine or the avenue that mine's in, and mine may not be in the avenue that yours is in, but we're all called to minister. And so my challenge was, Lord, if we're all called to minister, then why is it so difficult for people to understand that? And he said, because it's not being preached, because too many people are preaching based on their qualifications, and they're not preaching the assignment that we all have. If we all understood that we're all ministers and that we're all responsible, whether we feel like we can eloquently speak, whether we feel like we have degrees, whether we feel like we have ordainments and ordinations and all that, it can trip us up because that's what the world wants us to believe. That. And I hear people say this often. She went instead of being sent. We hear all those things and their judgments and their convictions and their condemnations that sometimes people feel, and they back up and they don't accept the call that God has given them because they're allowing people to make them think that they're not qualified and they disqualify themselves. I've always had a challenge, even when I went through the whole ministers and training program. I had challenges with it, and I had challenges even going through seminary school, how everything was based on doctrine and how everything was based on rules. And so the Bible says that we have to have structure. I'm not knocking that by no means. But I have a problem when we go so far to the law, when Jesus came to fulfill the law and not to do away with it. Grace covered a whole lot of that we're still holding on to. And so that's where our lesson name comes from in 2 Corinthians. And so 2 Corinthians is a major testament to many of us that we should really explore, because it gives us all the assignment to minister. We are all responsible for ministry, all of us. And so I love that in chapter 3, where we'll start today, it talks about being competent. And what does competent mean? And so, you know, I love to do my little definitions, and so I want to make sure that we have a better understanding. Now, competent, I mean, it seems simple, but it's having the necessary ability, the knowledge, or the skill to do something successfully. It didn't say a degree. It didn't say you had to be at the top, you know, the matriarchs or the lineage. It says having the necessary, not master, having the necessary ability, knowledge, or skill to do something successful. And then the second definition is efficient and capable. And last, it says acceptable and satisfactory, though not outstanding. So you don't have to be just a grand person to share the gospel. God has called us all to minister. What level you're on or where he wants you to minister, that's a conversation that you need to have with him. And if you don't have that conversation, how will you ever know? You'll listen to the world system that tells you you're not competent or you're not qualified. There was a time, because, you know, I told you I really wanted to be a minister. But there was a time when I had an opportunity, when I was really insincere and I thought that it was going to happen at this particular church. I suddenly felt unqualified because I felt like it was really going to happen. And I remember talking to one of the elders at the church, and I said, you know, I don't feel qualified. And she said, you're not. And I looked at her and I said, well, I met the requirements. She said, we'll never be qualified to do this great task that God has laid before. I mean, sometimes I think we don't take this serious enough, that God has given us an assignment to share his gospel, to speak on his behalf. So when we're training our children, I don't think we take that serious enough, because God gave us those children. And because he gave us those children, we are responsible or imparting into them what he desires for them to know and how they should grow. And when we don't do that, we are held accountable because we are ministers in our homes. And if we don't govern our homes the way God calls us to, we are held liable. Why? Because God has an assignment for each of us. And there was a reason why he put that particular child with you, just as he put mine with me and put us with our parents. There was a reason for our lineage. And so we have to fulfill our assignment to accomplish the goal and the task that God had from the beginning of time, because he knows the beginning, the middle, and the end. So he knew where we all needed to be. He knew exactly where we would be. He knew if we would stutter. He knew if we would lose words from time to time. He would know if we couldn't comprehend everything we read. He would know if we wouldn't qualify to get into college. He would know if we quit high school. He knows everything. And so the excuses that we give, I don't have time. But he knows all of that. And he will make an arrangement if you agree to do the assignment. That's the coolest thing that he gave us, is the will of choice. So we have to understand, first and foremost, who do you think you are? Well, not much outside of God. But who do you think you are when you are standing and allowing the Holy Spirit to run through you? Oh, amen. I'm a king's kid. Amen. I know who I am. I am confident who I am. When I stand behind a book board and I know that I've done what God has called me to do, I know the Holy Spirit is going to take over my mouth and take over my body and minister the way that I need to minister and be effective. Why? because I have the expectation, because I know my assignment. So I'm going to study to show myself to rightly approve, to be rightly to divide his word, so I can rightly divide his word. Why? Because I am serious, I guess that's where I'm coming, about my assignment. I know my assignment. I know that I have been called to cause change and to affect people to be better stewards, better soldiers, better disciples of the gospel. And I don't take that lightly. Now, sometimes I get caught up with me, amen. But when I'm on charge with a task that God has given me, oh, you better be, I'm suited and booted, because I know what's at stake, that somebody's life could be in the balance. And that's all of us. And so I need to take it a little bit more seriously in my everyday life and stop, you know, claiming stuff that I shouldn't be claiming and doing stuff that I shouldn't be doing, because at all times, the light should be shining in me at all times. And that's for all of us. And so I'm grateful that I can be authentic. I'm grateful that God uses me and my challenges and my quirkiness and some of the things that I don't necessarily always do right. He uses that because others that are watching can see, well, she often says she don't got it together, but she's still doing what God called her to do. Absolutely. I have many trials and many tribulations, and I'm still questioning God. Although I ain't supposed to question it, but I do, because, amen, we be real. I want my body right. I'm tired of going through these challenges. But nevertheless, I understand quite a few of them because, amen, I got testimonies, amen, because he delivered me from them all. And so, amen, I count it all joy. It's easy for me to count it all joy. And so I want you to be just as motivated, to be just as excited, to be just as enthusiastic about your assignment. And I know a lady asked me, she's like, what does that mean? Oh, I didn't have enough time to explain what that, we all have an assignment. We are all called to minister to whoever it is that God calls us to minister to, whether it's 5 minutes today and an hour tomorrow, or if it's 30 to, for 3 years and working on this person by just allowing your life. I mean, there are so many things that God exposes us to represent his life for those of us that are called to say that we want to live for him. We want to represent him. Amen. We got to do our part. We got to do our part. And so, amen, I get caught up. I got to read some scripture. Amen. So we're going to go to 2 Corinthians, and we're going to start at the third chapter. Now, I want you to read all of these chapters, chapters 3, 4, and 5, because they're all so meaty and they're so, so, so good. But one of the things that it starts with is this: do we begin again to commend ourselves, or we need, as some of the epistles, of commendations to you, or letters of recommendations from you? That basically is, you know, almost in a nutshell, how we do some ministers today. You know, we expect them to come with all these credentials. And I remember, you know, as a kid, I didn't quite understand Billy Graham, but I know we listened to him because my mother was into him. And so I don't remember him always or ever, because I had to study him for a couple of things in seminary school. I don't remember ever reading where he bragged about what credentials he had. He was straight up serious about sharing the gospel. And because he did his assignment, I mean, many, I would almost say millions of people's lives changed and were committed to a different way of living based on his commitment and his diligence and his dedication to the gospel. And then because of him and his ministry and the way that he went about opening the doors, it opened the doors for, I mean, major evangelists to come through. And so, praise God, because of that, you know, the enemy, you know, he wants to steal, kill, and destroy, praise God. And so now he has all these rules and all these things that we got to qualify and we got to be set apart and all that. Now, the word does say we need to be set apart, but not the way the world wants us to come with all these recommendations. Now, I do recommend people going to school, I do, because it does give you a better understanding of thought. I have an aunt right now that pretty much has enough credits to have a degree, but she only went to school so that she could learn to be more confident in the word. And so she didn't even care about the marching and all. She didn't care. She just wanted to know the word. And so that's the kind of people that God uses, those of us that are eager. We don't care about titles now, but some people it does help because it does get you, because I call them keys. They give you keys to get into places, praise God, that you wouldn't necessarily be able to get into. But again, got to be led by the Spirit. You can't be led by yourself. You got to be led by the Spirit to do that. But nevertheless, so it says in verse 2, are you epistles written in our hearts, known and read by all men? For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be epistles of Christ, ministered by written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tablets of stone, but in the fleshly tables of the heart. So I love this part of the scripture because basically it's what it's saying, in which all of us need to. And I was completely reminded of why this is important when I lost my vision. You have to have the word written in your heart. You have to. You have to have some scriptures down deep. What is that? Oh, like the children's song. I got that joy, 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 joy down in my heart. And it's down in my heart to stay. Why? Because, praise God, there are times in our lives it has to be written on your heart. Because if it's written on your heart, it's going to come out and it's going to shine through. And that's the light that people talk about. I can see something different about you because it's in your heart. And so when it's in your heart, it comes out of your mouth, because out of the heart, the mouth speaks, because you're thinking about it. And because you're thinking about it, you're talking about, you're bringing about. So it's part of you. And that's why it's so easy for me, I can only say me, to minister on certain things. Because I took the word. See, I ate it. Because first I want my vision back. Amen. And so I wanted to do everything that I needed to do to make sure that I was right. And so I was super, 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 super thirsty and hungry for the word. And so I listened to it. I would put it on my head and I would just listen, just 24 hours, just constantly had the word before me. And so it became part of me. And so it's interesting now how sometimes I fall short, but nevertheless, it's still in me. And so I could be confident when God says, when he turns the button on and says, Lee, it's time for you to minister. Amen. I'm on. Why? Because I'm confident in Leah. I just know. I know God's going to manifest, because whoever he puts me in front of, I know it's for them. It ain't for me. Now, sometimes it is for me. A lot of times it's for me. But nevertheless, I know that I am competent to do what is necessary. And it said in verse 4, such confidence we have to Christ before God. My confidence is in him. It is not in me. Because I can tell you right now, there's quite a few scriptures that I believe is in my heart. I can't tell you where they are. I can't even tell you if I'm saying them correctly. I mean, there's a couple of scriptures I kind of, you know, amen. I don't always get them right because I'm not confident in me. But I know the meaning that God wants them to have. When I say them, they will go forth. And he will do the same for you. And so some of us are not confident. And when we minister to people, some of us are not confident when we have to pray for other people. And so we don't pray. Why do we do that? Get yourself confident. Even if it's no more than Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know we need Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Help us, Jesus, so that we can be more like you in Jesus' name. You don't think he'd honor that because that was from your heart? Absolutely, he will. And then the Holy Spirit will do what it needs to do. Amen. Now, if you can do better, now, baby, let's do better. Well, praise God, there are times, amen, all the scriptures don't come to me. Lord, you know my heart. You know the situation, and I'm giving it to you. I'm going to be it in Jesus' name. I let your angels be camped around my home and protect us in Jesus' name. Amen. You don't think that them angels is around my house? Amen. I ain't quote 5,000 scriptures. No, I don't even think I said a scripture. Other than I know that he can charge his angels to camp around me. Amen. And he's going to give me sweet sleep. I don't know where that is. But I said it because I know it's in there, because I'm confident in knowing he's going to do what he said he's going to do. You have to be confident too. It's that such confidence we have through Christ before God, not before ourselves, in him. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything of ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of the new covenant, not the letter, but the spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. Amen. I mean, we could just do them six scriptures. Amen. That is a lot to have the word of God written on your heart and be confident that you can do anything through Christ and that you're competent to do it. And that he made you competent to minister his word, not based on the letter, what kills, but through the spirit that gives life. Thanks, we got to get away with condemning people. That skirt's too short. She's been out all night and in church. We are turning people away from God. No. I saw a man at the store today, and praise God, he was with his girlfriend. It was his boyfriend. And they both had hickeys all over their necks. And I thought, wow, Lord, how could I minister to them from the letter of the law? Y'all are going to hell. Is that love? Absolutely not. Is that life? Absolutely not. But there are people that wouldn't be Christians, wouldn't speak to them at all, wouldn't minister to them at all because they gone. That's their mindset. That's the letter that kills. He says to love them all. And so, praise God, I may not have ministered to him, but I was kind. I was like, brother, man, all that money you got in your hand, you must be ready to pay for my groceries. And he said, no, I can't do that this time. And I said, well, when can you do it? Friday. I'll come back. You come back Friday, I'll be here Friday. You can pay for my groceries. He said, no. And I said, you know, we've been in this line for a long time. And he said, yeah. He said, they need some extra help. Conversation. You have a blessed day. Thank you. Amen. Can God do something with that? Absolutely, because that's all he told me to do, to share love. How many people judge them, roll their eyes, call themselves Christians? Things we can't do that. We have to share love. When people are doing wrong, we don't beat them down and throw the book at them. All that. I mean, come on. We have to win them with love. A mentor friend of mine, she came over last week, and she convicted me, amen, stop calling myself that other name. You win people in love, not through condemnation. That's what the letter did. That letter they're talking about, that's the law. Now, granted, the law was necessary in the Old Testament because the Holy Spirit hadn't come, hadn't manifested. But now that Jesus came and shed his blood, his grace is sufficient. Amen. We win people through love. And then we have no right putting timetables on people. That's God's job. We just share the light and share love and let God do the rest. That's why I love verse 7. It says, now if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in the letters on stone, came with glory so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, transitory through it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be more glorious? If the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what is glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if the transitory came with glory, how much greater is the glory of which lasts? Okay, that's a whole lot. That's the NIV version. Let's go to the Message version, because sometimes the Message version gives us a better understanding because it breaks it down a little bit more. It says, we couldn't be more sure of ourselves than this when you're written by Christ himself with God, with the letter of recommendation. I'm trying to get down. We wouldn't think of the writing of this kind of letter about ourselves. Only God can write such a letter. His letter authorizes us to help carry out his new plan of action. The plan wasn't written out with ink on paper, but with the pages of legal footnotes. Killing your spirit. It is written with spirit on spirit, his life of our lives. And then it goes on to say, with that kind of hope to excite us, nothing holding us back, unlike Moses, we had nothing to hide. Everything is out in the open with us. So a veil of the children of Israel wouldn't notice that the glory was fading. What they're talking about, they're fading with the veil. It's, I don't know, some of you that have been listening with me for quite a while, I often say, when I go and be in the presence of God, I want people to know that I've been in the presence of God like Moses. Every time Moses was in the presence of God, his face would light up because he had been in the presence of God. And so when he felt that the glory was fading, he would wear a veil so that people wouldn't think that the Spirit of God wasn't on him. Amen. Well, when Jesus came, amen, he tore that veil off. And so we always can shine and have the glory on us. And so with that kind of hope, it doesn't fade. And so when we go before the Lord, think about it. If you read the Bible and then after you read it, 30 minutes later, it starts to fade. What you read in your Bible don't look like it. That's kind of what happens sometimes when we're operating in the law, because people can't see it no more because it wasn't the glory of God. But you get in the Word of God, amen, that glory will stay on you because the glory of God creates change. And that's why I love that God gave me empower to change. When you change, amen, and you really feel the glory of the Lord on you, it's hard to go back the other way. It's hard. You make mistakes. I'm not saying that. But going back to that old stuff, you don't do that no more. Because you don't have time for that because it is too important. I understand. I don't want the glory to ever be covered for me. I want to always walk in God's light. I want to always be where he tells me to be and do what he tells me to do. Now, do I always do that? Absolutely not. But why? Because he knew we were flesh. And that our flesh is weak and that sometimes we fall victim to certain things. But he wants us to understand we don't have to be held by the letter of the law. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. Back then, amen, capital offenses. You kill somebody, you should be killed. Amen. The veil was broken. That letter of that law, it's still you're not supposed to kill nobody. And it's not even just killing people with rocks and stones and guns. It's killing people with your tongue and being nasty to people. He doesn't want you to do that either. But there's grace, and he gives you an opportunity to repent and get it right. That's where the glory comes from. That's why you could be nasty and mean. If you ever known people to be just nasty and mean, and then just out of the blue, it seems, they've changed, and they're really nice, and they're kind, and they're lovable and sweet. Mm-hmm, God got a hold of them. Amen. It can happen. But if you condemn them, I ain't going to never talk to her again. I ain't going to never. How will you ever see her change? The manifestation? Maybe something you said that God put on your heart, planted the seed. Somebody else came and watered it. Or maybe you were the one that God allowed to water it. And the change manifested. And because of you and your law abiding self, don't want to speak to that person anymore. It doesn't work that way, saints. What if God did us that way? It doesn't work that way. We have to be kind to one another and allow the Spirit to do what the Spirit does. I think sometimes we get so caught up because we want people to change now, and so we're just so gung-ho, snap, 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 microwave, change. It doesn't work that way. Sometimes there's time for all of us to get to where we need to get to. And so I want to make sure that we understand that it is important. Because the Bible says that we are to examine people's fruit. But amen. Give them grace. Well, I mean, they're growing. I mean, today I went to eye shop that I used to get my eyebrows done at all the time. And my daughter, amen, was getting hers done. And they had this beautiful plant. And so I wanted a piece so bad. And so it was the whole series just asked while I was looking to see which ones I could get. Amen. And so they remembered me. It's been several years since I've been there. But they said, take as many as you want. And as I was looking at this vine and I saw how it intertwined and how that plant has had to have been there for years because it was huge. It was wrapped around. It was almost on the ceiling. It was one of those vine plants that just grow. But, I mean, the flower petals were almost big as my face. I've never seen a plant like that with the petals as big. But so you could tell it had been there for a long time. So I could imagine how many times people have poured their drink in there. How many people throw trash in that pot? And but over the years, I never saw none of that. I never got to see how they, you know, mistreated that plant. Or people, you know, actually nurturing it, taking the petals off, watering it, you know, maybe putting some food grow in there or whatever it is to get it to get to that point. All I saw today was a manifestation of this huge plant that has been there for years that somebody has manicured. Probably some people have taken advantage of too. But I saw the manifestation of the life of that tree. That's how we are sometimes. And sometimes wherever we come into that person's life, we'll throw the book at them because they look dingy. But you don't know what they've been through. You don't know. You don't know. So don't look at them through the law. Look at them through the spirit, through love, through what God has called you to, and add to it. Amen. How are you doing today? Are you having a blessed day? Last week I mentioned about this gentleman that is part of our homeschool group, hurt himself, and how he's getting better, and how the different testimonies and the messages that they're sending each day, I'm encouraged because I can see how God is manifesting, and he's allowing those of us that are praying to see the manifestation of our prayers. Now, if he had hurt himself and they had never followed up with us again, how would we have known that our prayers are being manifested? We just have to believe. But isn't it a cool thing when you get to see the manifestations of what you're actually applying, that you're praying for people? When we pray for our children, sometimes we go in on them hard. Think about that on your job. You make a mistake, and then they write you up immediately, and they didn't even give you a chance to figure it out. I mean, you didn't really train me. You just told me I had to do this, and now all of a sudden you write me up. You didn't give me an opportunity to learn. But nevertheless, what do you do with that? Do you try to make sure that you do better? Is it helping you to do things differently? Absolutely. So now when somebody comes in, they don't know that you was written up a couple of times. They just know, wow, you're really good at this. So say, I'm just saying, you know, we blame ourselves and we dog ourselves out when God has given us an assignment and we're supposed to move. We can't just continue and even judge ourselves, because sometimes we can condemn ourselves more than other people can. We all have a responsibility to share the gospel. We all have a responsibility to love on each other. And whatever it is, I don't know where my community is to minister to. Your house, amen. Start there, amen. The people that are the closest to you, just ask God, Lord, show me what you would have me to do. I promise you he will, but you got to be willing to do it, and then it will grow and it will manifest, and it is our responsibility. It is our responsibility. Do you know that when Paul started his journey, he was adamant about doing what he thought he was supposed to do because he had been trained, because he was a scholar, and he had degrees, and he had wisdom and knowledge, and his parents sent him to the best of the best. And so he was vindicated in doing what he thought was necessary by killing the Jews because they were blaspheming according to him. And then when God sent him on that road and gave him grace, he could have threw the book at him and said, you know, you why are you persecuting me? It's time for you to go to hell, buddy. And you know, when you knocked him off that horse, that could have been it. But his grace was sufficient. God knows we will make mistakes. And he gave him an opportunity. I need you to go down this road, and I need you to go see a man, and I want you to be trained by this man, and then I'm going to change your life. And did he have a joyful ride down the yellow brick road? Of course not. The disciples didn't even believe that he was called because he wasn't with us. He didn't walk with Jesus. How he called himself an apostle and a disciple? So he went through some stuff too. But nevertheless, amen, he wrote more of the New Testament than they did. But nevertheless, it doesn't matter where you are in your journey. Just make sure you're on it and that God is moving you to do what he's called you to do. He has called us all. We are all called. But we may not be necessarily convinced that we're called, but we are. We're all called to minister. It may not be behind a book board. It may not be the wear collar, but we all are called to minister the word of God. One of the coolest things that I think that we don't really stress enough, or we don't talk enough about, is the scripture when it says, go and make disciples. So I think many people, I believe that that's a preacher's call, that nobody else is supposed to do that, but people that were called by God. No. The Bible was written for us all, and it doesn't say all of us are called to go and make disciples of all men. Now, we probably can't do baptizing and all that, but it's still our responsibility to get them to the brook where they're supposed to be baptized. Then that's when you teach them why they go to a teaching-type church where they can be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, so that they can go and be in an environment where the teaching will teach them everything they need so that they can be equipped to do what God has called them to do. That's why I love the Word, because the Word says that that all of His scripture was God-breathed so that we could be taught. So it's for the teaching, it's for the correction, it's for training, it's for rebuking, so that we all can be thoroughly equipped to do this work. But if you're not going to do your part, then it's difficult. And then the enemy gets in and makes you believe that's not your assignment. That's what the preacher's to do. That ain't your job. It is your job. I'm not saying you have to, stand on the corner and have a billboard or a sign. Although those are assignments, and we sometimes drive by and laugh at those people, but we don't know how many people's lives have been saved by somebody standing on the corner with that sign, going to kill themselves, and saw that and knew that that was God. Don't knock people's assignments, saints. Because they're bold enough to do that. And then it's, they have mental challenges. We don't know. We don't know. We say that because they're not living the life that we think. Again, throwing a letter at people, throwing that law, instead of throwing a spirit, Lord, I thank you. When you see them and you possibly, Lord, bless them. The assignment that you call for them, give them the motivation to be able to stand in the rain and continue to do that. Because I believe somebody's going to be blessed by them. And then praise God, Lord, if that's not their assignment, let somebody come pass their way that will give them the right word so that they can be about their business, about your business. Amen. We're not praying enough. Do you pray when the ambulance goes by? Do you pray when the police officers are speeding down the highway? Do you pray for them, Lord? I know I pray for the people, amen, but do we pray for the police? Lord, where are they going? Cover them. Make sure that they know and they operate correctly. And that they're covered in the blood, that there's, no hurt, harm, or danger will come near them. They're doing the job. That's an assignment for them, too, to create order. I'm troubled a little bit because I think we all should be free, and many of us are walking in bondage. We're walking in bondage as a world because we're not doing what God has called us to do. And so my charge and my challenge to you today is, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Are you a righteous one that you're living the way that God would have you? Are you bound and living the way that the other man wants you to live? As me and my girlfriend was laughing, we were talking about fig tree wearing people. Are you covered yourself? Who told you was naked in the first place? So you covering yourself with figs? Who told you that was attire? I mean, I think we're believing way too much stuff that we shouldn't be believing because we won't read the word. So available to us in all manners. I mean, your phone, your actual books. I mean, thanks. We got to get it together. And we got to be about God's business. This world, remember 2 Timothy 3, how the Bible says that in the end times all these things would happen? It's happening. It's happening. A man that he was talking about on the radio being criticized for discipline issue, and he wasn't even disciplining him, like beating him. He was making him exercise, and it was a big deal was made about it today on the radio. And I thought, Lord, that's amazing. We spent 20 minutes on the radio, not we, but listening to it, so I made myself part of it. But, and people commenting and dialing in, and it was like, wow. But we can't talk about how you're manifesting and helping people, and how if you're needing help that you could just reach out to him. don't hear that kind of stuff much on the radio. Not like you do this other stuff. Can you create TikToks and Instagrams that can lead people to Christ? Don't even have to be much. Just a scripture a day. This was on my heart, and I felt like sharing it today. Have a good day. You don't know how many lives that could touch. Just text your family. Go through it. Just one thing and text. Now, I used to be guilty of that and sending a bunch of groups. But I take time to send one, so it's not like it's a group message so people can kind of discard it because, oh, it's just a group message. No, send it to that particular person. God loves you, and he's thinking about you. Have you talked to him today? Have you told him the concerns of your heart? So much we can do. So much we can do. We need to get on it. So my challenge to you are, who do you think you are? Are you a child of God, and you're doing what he called you to do? Or are you leaning to your own understanding and doing your own thing? Are you bound by that other thing that we have total power and authority over, but because you don't know no better, you're allowing him to make you believe that he has more power over you? He doesn't. So my challenge to each of you is to be inspired to be about God's business and do what he's called you to do. Read 2 Corinthians 3, 4, and 5. And you'll be amazed at what God will bless your heart to make you understand what they're called to do. Now, I'm never out of talk, but I am out of time. And so I always close the broadcast with my granny's favorite song, Every Praise Belongs to God, because it does. And so if you need a word from on high, just ask him, and he'll give it to you. He said in his word, if you remain in him, his word remains in you. Ask, and he will always, always be there for you. It may not be what you necessarily want, but it definitely will be what you need. Amen. Well, this is Leah Jones with Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. I pray that you have been encouraged. I pray that you have been motivated to learn something different or to explore a different side of it, and then to be empowered to make a change. God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful evening. And remember to always, always pray throughout your day and end your day with prayer. God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Be blessed.
Let me hear the worshipers. Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Every praise
is to our God.
To our God.
Let's take it up one more time.